Moses doesn't want to do what God has asked him to do that day. God has told Moses, go to Egypt, tell the leaders that I'm about to set you free. Door closed at that time. Yeah, Pharaoh said no. Moses said, but who will I tell that has sent me? And God says to him, tell them I am has sent you. Moses is trepidatious. Moses is uncomfortable. Moses is being asked to get out of his comfort zone. He's there in the desert of Midian taking care of sheep. And guess what, church family? He's happy there. Sometimes when you're in the desert, you're happy there. Because it's known. It's common. You hear people say, hey, man, what's going on? The guy says, same old, same old. So I guess you're not getting really any different results in your life if you're doing the same thing over and over again. Church, today we're going to talk about the church has left the building. Why? Why are we going to talk about that this morning? Because I'm here to remind you that these walls and these ceilings is not church. If you had that conception in your mind that this building is church, I'm here to tell you that you're wrong. Church is you. I want to welcome you here on this Sabbath day. I want to say thank you for all our visitors for choosing to come and worship with us this morning. I have my co-worker Joe Palumbo and his wife Dolores here worshiping with us. I'm really grateful. We have some members that attend our Wednesday night life group at 7 o'clock. Selena and her children and Gilberto. Is your brother here? I mean, Carl? No? Carl? Well, we're just really, really grateful to have our visitors here with us today. And if you're a first-time visitor and you haven't received a gift bag, we owe you one. All right? So before you leave today, please get a gift bag if it's your first-time visit. Because we're talking about being trepidatious about what God has for someone, and we're talking about how this building isn't church, but it's actually you, we have to kind of understand some context. The Bible tells us that many people hear, but they don't hear. Many people see, but they don't see. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray and ask God, say, Lord, open up my spiritual eyes so that I can see. Open up my spiritual ears so that I can hear what it is presented today. Let's bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we worship you now in hearing the word, we're so grateful, Heavenly Father, for the gifts that you give to your children. You have called each one of your children for a purpose. You have designed each one of your children to serve you with a very specific need. You have called your children to go out and do your work. And so as we hear the message today, Heavenly Father, we ask your Holy Spirit to come down. We rebuke anything that is not of you in Jesus' name. And we ask you to open up our spiritual eyes, open up our spiritual ears so that we can see and hear what you have for us today. I ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. A population of 14.4 million woke up on August 14, 1961, and they were trapped. 14.4 million people were now trapped. The interesting thing about this situation is that even in 1961, when the trap had been set, there had been signs for many, many years letting them know that a trap was coming. Starting in 1946, restrictions started happening to this population of 17 million. And every year, the restrictions became more and more repressive. There were some, as they saw the signs, they knew that they had to take an action. Because freedom is something that some people value very, very much. Some people take freedom for granted. Of that 17 million that started out in this country in 1946, 2.6 million had left that country. Because they had watched the signs and they said, this situation is not for me. As they looked at all the things that were going on in their country, the question was asked, will today be the same as tomorrow? That was the question. I have this today, will I have it the same tomorrow? Unfortunately, 14.4 million people chose not to do anything. I'm here to tell you today, church, that not making a choice is what? Is a choice. Last summer, my wife and I went up to SoCal Camp Meet in Central California. Now, I go every year, and I've been going there since 1978, because it's an amazing event to be at this campground for 10 days where thousands of people have their trailers and tents, and they're all participating in worship on a daily basis, and you get to do it all together. It's an amazing thing to get to experience. This year, though, was something that was going to happen that I couldn't wait. In fact, I was just talking about it. I said, oh, man, I can't wait to get to camp meeting because he's going to be there. When I get there, I was a little disappointed because he had missed the flight from Baltimore or D.C., so he wasn't actually there on Friday night, but I got to hear him speak on Saturday morning and Saturday night. And then after the meeting on Saturday night, I got to actually meet with him, and he signed a book for my wife and I. Barry was born to a lady by the name of Pearline Black. Barry was one of five children. He was born on November 1st, 1948, and he was raised in the projects of Baltimore, Maryland. Have you all ever met somebody or ever have been in a situation where circumstances are actually blocking you from being able to achieve either a vision or a dream? Anybody ever had that situation before? I have this vision, I have this dream, but now this wall or this barrier is keeping me from that dream. If you're human, more than likely you have had that experience. You see, we're not all born into situations where everything is handed to us. We're not all born with having parents that are millionaires that put us into the best education, the best environment, get to belong to all the different clubs, learn how to do all the different things. No, because if you look at it and you think about your environment and who you associate with, you can know that most of the people that you are with are not experiencing that type of lifestyle. Now, there are a few, right? There are a few. And Barry, he's growing up in the projects of Baltimore, Maryland. African American, absent alcoholic father. You would say that the circumstances are stacked against him. But there was a situation going on in the Black home. And this was the situation. There was a mother, Pearline Black, that believed in something. And that something was a buoyancy to Barry's life. This is what she would tell her children all the time. And it's found in Mark 10:27. Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." I'm going to repeat that. All things are possible with God. I'm going to have to say that again because I need to get an amen somewhere. All things are possible with God. Oh, man. You know, I wasn't sure if anybody believed that in here for a moment. Barry was instructed from a little boy that all things were possible with God. I got to hear him speak that weekend in Soquel camp meeting. And as I sat there, I couldn't not stop listening to this man. Not only did he have this nice baritone resonant voice, but what he did was amazing. He would pull a name, some philosopher's name, and quote them verbatim. He would pull a scripture out of the Bible and quote it. He would use Shakespeare. He would use Lee Iacocca. He would use Ronald Reagan. He would use any resource that he could, and it would just pop out of his head as he shared the message with the congregation. Wow. How did he become so large? How did he become so prolific? Where did this come from? And as he shares in his book, From the Hood to the Hill, he attributes it to all things are possible with God. You see, Barry Black is today the first Seventh-day Adventist African-American chaplain of the United States Senate. From the projects of Baltimore, Maryland, he decided to commit his life to the Lord. And I'm sure, if you can imagine, growing up in the best environment, there are temptations. But imagine, Selena, growing up in the worst environment. The worst. As he shares his story, he talks about all the temptations, all the little opportunities that he had to veer away from the truth that had been presented to him by his mother. And there were times when that veering went a little bit further than his mother liked, and of course, through corrective measures, she brought him back on track. Barry went and studied Oakwood College, became a minister, was in the ministry in South Carolina, and then he decided to go into the Navy. While in the Navy, he started rising up in ranks. When he finally retired from the Navy 30 years later, he had become the chief captain of all the chaplains in the military service. With that title, Jake, he received the rank of Rear Admiral. Whoa, amazing. But that wasn't enough. You see, for all things are possible with God. In that process, what Barry did is he got a master's degree. He got his master's degree in divinity, counseling, management. So, 3 master's degree. And then again, all things are possible with God. He decided to get his doctorate in ministry and in philosophy. Amazing man, right, Caroline? Amazing man. Now I have a question for you. Is Barry any different than us? Do we believe that all things are possible with God? Or is our God like this, where only small things are possible with God? In his book, he writes, write down your dreams, write down your visions, and commit them to God. Because guess what? Those dreams and those visions, he put them there. Our issue that we have many times, Angela, is being able to actually believe. Barry tells a story in his book of a time when he is now hitting that glass ceiling of racial discrimination. There had never been an African American in the position that he was going for. It was a good old boy network. Discouragement could easily have set in at that point. But you see, when you go do the fallback position of all things are possible with God, there is no such thing as a glass ceiling. There is no such thing. As he talks and as he shares, what he is trying to impart to anybody he comes in contact with, that in a relationship with God, all things are possible. But you see, unbelief is a struggle that we all have at times, and Barry's not any different, but he always had his fallback position. There are many stories in the Bible of individuals who didn't want to go forward with the mission that they had been designed for. For those of you in your one-year Bible, early in this week, you saw Moses. He knew that he had been designed to be a leader of people. But it wasn't until he got into relationship with God that he actually achieved that. Prior to going into the desert of Midian, he had tried to become that leader, and he ended up killing an Egyptian, and he had to flee from Egypt because he thought Pharaoh was going to kill him. Gideon, for those of you who have your Bible, turn to Judges 6. Judges 6. And we're going to look at verses 11 through 15. You see, you can be one of the chosen people, as Gideon was. You can have been told all the Bible stories and still not believe. You can have been exposed to people sharing with you, this is what God has done for me, but that doesn't necessarily mean you believe. And Gideon has this problem. Let's read, church, from 11 through 15. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, get this, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Gentlemen, how would it feel if someone came to you and says, you are a mighty warrior? Because they said it, does that mean that's how you feel about yourself? Only time I've ever seen really a mighty warrior is because the mighty warrior has actually believed in it himself. I cannot impart in you something that you are unless you actually, Dolores, internalize it. I just can't. I want to believe it. My spirit wants to claim it. But the question is, how do I internalize that? So he calls him a mighty warrior. Listen to what Gideon says. "But sir, if the Lord is with us, why has this all happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us in the hands of the Midianites." Church, what is Gideon looking at? He's looking at circumstances. He is in an environment that is not beneficial to him or his people. Think about your week. Think about your work environment. Think about, for those who are raising children, think about it. Was every moment of the day the best circumstances for you? Come on now. Was my best circumstances all week long? Just the best? No. Bianca, does that happen? No. How many times, though, as we go through our work week or our activities, when we're not in the best of circumstances, do we say to ourselves, "Oh, but all things are possible with God"? Is that a battle for us? Or do we get caught up in the circumstances like Gideon? When actually God is coming to talk to him, giving him a commission, and all God hears at that point is, "Wah, wah, wah." Debbie Downer just thrashing the whole party. But you see, I'm thankful for, I give God the glory because all things are possible with God. After Gideon goes through his little complaining mode, "Oh, his father is so patient. Your father is so patient. His father is so merciful. Your father is so merciful. His father was so kind. Your father is so kind." The Lord tells him, "Go, get this, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand." And then he asks him this question, "Am I not sending you?" Whoa! God has given you a commission. And if God has given you a commission, for those of you who at least know some of your Bible stories, is it going to fail? I'm sorry, do you believe that? If God has given you a commission, is it going to fail? Believing that is one thing, saying it is another. Gideon, "Wow, God is sending me." This is what he says. Verse 15, "But Lord," don't you love that? Many times in the church environment, when people are said, "You know what? You see, we have to set up the chairs in the morning or in the night because we really want to have a comfortable group setting for our church. Can you come help? Can you get involved?" "I would, but you know what? We really need some help with our cooking team because, you know, that's part of our outreach, making sure that people feel comfortable and have a nice, nutritious food in our environment so that they can enjoy themselves and not have to rush home and make some food. Can you help? I want to," what's the word? "But." Many times we are no different than Gideon. Many times. He says, but Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the what? What does it say? Jesse, what does your version say? 15? Uh-huh. Whoa, Gideon, not only was he from the most jacked up clan, but he was also like this little nothing. For some reason, when I'm reading in my Bible storybook as I'm growing up, I always imagine Gideon as this he-man that just doesn't have a heart of courage. That's what I'm thinking him as growing up. But he is actually claiming to be the weakling in his clan. And you're calling me the weakling to come and save Israel? What's his problem, church? Does he have it ingrained in his head that all things are possible? The question is, do we? The Bible stories are written for who? They're written for me. They might be written for you, but they're written for me. Pastor has been asking and sharing with those who are involved, and he's been presenting it in his sermons, that there is going to be a vision for 2008 for the Lighthouse Church, Jake. And that vision that is actually going to be presented, there are going to be goals to actually achieve that vision. You see, because believe it or not, God has called each one of you. Don't believe me? Let me share with you what Jesus says to you in Matthew 28. For those of you who have your Bible, Matthew 28. And we're going to start reading in verse 18. And we're going to basically see if God was actually, or Jesus, or Yahweh was actually talking to you. And this is what it says. Then Jesus came to them and said, all? Did it say some? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. What do we call that? Anybody know what that's called? The Great Commission. If you say that you are a Christian and you define your Christianity by what you don't do, I'm here to tell you that you need to check yourself. Oh, I am a Christian because I don't, and fill in the blank. Yet here in the Great Commission, Jesus is saying is, if you are a follower of me, do. It's easy to get caught up in the don't, isn't it? It's easy. But you see, these walls, they need to come down. Because this is not church. Gideon, as he's looking at the situation, he thinks he's one of the chosen people. and that it's an exclusive club. But they had forgot the whole purpose of the chosen people, and that was to show others about God. Are you one of the chosen people, or are you one of those that are showing God to others? That's the question. Because if you're just saying that I belong to religion and I pray and I read my Bible, but yet you don't go out and tell anybody about Jesus, I'm here to tell you that you need to check yourself. Gideon had a problem. And the problem that Gideon had was he wanted somebody else to do the job. Does that sound familiar? He wanted somebody else to do the work. Yet God was calling him. And I praise God that he, even though he was reluctant, even though he basically had to drag him along the path, he followed the path that God had laid out for him. The advisors told him, don't say it. You're going to cause an international incident if you say those words. As he sat there, he contemplated. He listened to his advisors who were experts in international protocol. And he said, no, I have to say it. I have a vision. There are over 14.4 million people that are trapped. And my vision is freedom. But Mr. President, if you go and you speak these words, you're going to offend a lot of people. Ronald Reagan, as he was visiting West Germany, he had a vision. But he knew that vision could only take place if action would take place first. Do you know that only time a vision can be achieved is if actions lead up to that vision? How many are aware of that? We say Lighthouse Church wants to be a spiritually powerful, dynamic, loving, kind, merciful church. That's our vision. But if we don't start, the vision never gets obtained. As he's sitting there in his limousine, he tells his advisors, I have been planning this day for almost 8 years. Because freedom is the vision of our country. So in his famous speech on June 12, 1987, Ronald Reagan said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. See, on the other side were people that were trapped. No hope. No hope. All the hope was on the other side of the wall. Church family, you have the hope. You have the Spirit of God in you. You have the talents. You have the ability to choose to be part of the Great Commission. And if you choose, you say, you know what, I'm going to wait, that is choosing not to. So, let's decide as a church to tear down the walls. Have you been trapped for a long time? Where you said a lot of buts? I'm here to encourage you today that all things are possible with God.